Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
WrestleMania is less than 3 weeks away. Rivalries, storylines, and matches, and the hype only continue to intensify, not by the day, not by the week, not even by the minute, but by the second. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ringside Chaos. This is the professional wrestling discussion segment of the Bear of Texas podcast. My name is Alex Alcazaz, and I'm also known as the Bear of Texas. And before I get to my usual recap for Monday Night Raw, I want to take a moment to address a couple things. Number one, it was announced last week, and this is not WWE related, but Gail Kim had been fired by TNA Wrestling. I thought about doing an episode, but I could not gather enough information to spend at least 15 minutes talking about it. I did talk to my friend Ricky about it, and he simply says that this is related to budget cuts. Now, I don't know if this has necessarily been confirmed. I just noticed that all of a sudden Gail Kim was trending on Twitter, and then it was all these sources saying that she had been fired. Honestly, it's a shame because Gail Kim is a hero, not only in women's wrestling, but in professional wrestling overall. So where does Gail Kim go from here? Could she go to AEW to take charge of the AEW women's division? Personally, I would love it if she did. I would love it if Gail Kim was in charge of producing and, of course, being in charge of the AEW women's division. Could she come back to the WWE? Well, that's a thought. But speaking of an AEW departure, Saraya, who was known as Paige in WWE, announced that she's no longer with AEW, and she actually has a bit of a desire to return to WWE. She said she would love it, so who knows? So that's two things. Well, and that's basically all the unrelated to WWE stuff. SmackDown, well, the signing. CM Punk versus Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins. Of course, Paul Heyman being the one to tell CM Punk that he will headline a WrestleMania. And Seth Rollins does not take kindly to it at all, saying that CM Punk does not deserve it. Of course, CM Punk really getting involved in the whole storyline with Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, well, it's what's best for business. I mean, the whole issue with Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins has been going for well over 10 years. So, of course, Seth Rollins blaming Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman for the whole CM Punk thing. But the most important thing out of that segment, ladies and gentlemen, okay, the fact that CM Punk was thanking the fans and the tribal chief says, no, 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 you should be thanking your tribal chief. CM Punk did, in fact, thank the tribal chief. But here's the most important thing from that segment, ladies and gentlemen. Do we remember the favor that CM Punk is owed? Well, CM Punk made it clear that this is not the favor that he is owed. And we saw the reaction on Paul Heyman's face. So, ladies and gentlemen, the question is, what is CM Punk still owed? Are we going to find out next week? Well, I'm sure that we are going to find out before WrestleMania. So, ladies and gentlemen, what could the favor be possibly? What could CM Punk be possibly owed? If you have any ideas, well, if you're listening on Spotify or if you're watching on YouTube, let me know in the comments. That's number one. What could CM Punk be owed possibly? Number two, where do you see Gail Kim ending up? And, of course, the same thing with Saraya, formerly known as Paige. That's three things. The favor owed to CM Punk, what could it be? And you know what? If you have a reason why, let me know. Where will Gail Kim end up? And where will Saraya, formerly known as Paige, end up? So now we get to Monday Night Raw. Well, of course, it had to start with John Cena and Cody Rhodes, right? And John Cena can't even utter a word because as he gets the mic, he's about to say something. Well, Cody's music hits. Cody gets to the ring, and it seems as if John Cena is about to say something, but Cody says, "We have listened to you long enough." Cody Rhodes and John Cena did the same thing they've done, you know, since last week, throwing jabs at each other. John Cena even basically vowing to bury Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania. And of course, he's telling everybody how he's been told that he's been burying talent for a long time. And John Cena made it clear, I don't bury talent, I am talent. Well, Cody Rhodes certainly responded in the best ways, but I think my favorite one is how Cody Rhodes reminds him that he comes from a wrestling family. I know I'm a wrestler like my dad before me. You were created by a man in an office that's no longer here, and we don't talk about him. So obviously, Cody made a reference to, of course, Vincent Kennedy McMahon. Now, the segment in itself was absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. But a lot of fans expressed their disappointment in how the segment ended, because it ended with John Cena being given the crossroads. John Cena, of course, the heel, attempts a cheap shot, but is outsmarted by Cody. I swear to God, the chance that Cody gets, I mean, a lot of other fans get a similar chance. You know, the one that goes, Cody, Cody Rhodes, Cody, Cody Rhodes. I mean, Io Sky got that chant as well. I'm sure somebody else did, but I don't recall who. Oh, man. You know, and speaking of Cody, I swear, that suit that he was wearing in this one, man, what a... Man, I could never afford a suit like that, let me tell you. but of course, you know, Cody wearing the suit, you know, wearing a better suit. It seems like he's wearing a better suit week by week, but of course, you know, this is, that's Cody for you. You got the guy wearing the expensive suit, and the other dude just wearing the John Cena t-shirt and jean shorts like he always did. Oh, boy. So going back to the whole John Cena has buried talent, I mean, there's a lot of names out there that people will say that John Cena buried. You know, Kevin Owens would come to mind. They would say that he buried Owens in 2015. Of course, the late Bray Wyatt, WrestleMania 30. A lot of people insist that Bray Wyatt should have won. Honestly, back then, I was actually happy with John Cena winning. But of course, at this point in my life, I think that Bray Wyatt winning actually would have been the better call. Of course, at the time, Vince McMahon was in charge, and John Cena with all that influence. So, of course, you know, some would say it's called backstage politics. That's the concept right there. But John Cena and Cody Rhodes. Of course, John Cena, of course, reminding everybody that he vows to not only bury Cody, but to take that title and retire with it. The segment was fantastic from both sides, but Bleacher Report even reports this, that this particular segment felt very, very repetitive. I mean, I can understand. I mean, they're trying to build up the match to WrestleMania. But honestly, while there was some things that were repetitive, I still really feel like the segment was very, very entertaining. But Bleacher Report gave the segment a B. I'm about to say B+. Not a B+ or B-, just a B. I wonder if Bleacher Report was disappointed by the finish of the segment. But honestly, the fancy suit that Cody wore in this one, I mean, he's always been wearing fancy suits, but, you know, I think aside from the Vince McMahon reference, how Cody tells John Cena there's a lot of things that he can make fun of him for, you know, the Stardust character. I'm actually surprised that Cody Rhodes didn't mention the dashing Cody Rhodes gimmick from 15 years ago. Man. Of course, he even mentions, you know, I have an arm tattoo, but it's on my neck. Man. The segment was good, and I think, you know, at this point, you know, I was sure that John Cena was actually going to win at WrestleMania, and I still feel like it's going to go this way, but you can just tell that they're just building it, and they're just basically increasing its hype. And again, the hype and the excitement has been increasing second by the second by the second. So, well, we're excited for next week's Monday Night Raw. We're certainly excited at what happens later this week on SmackDown about the favor that CM Punk is still apparently owed. So the opening segment was great, and once again, you know, the vague, you know, as Bleacher Report describes it, the vague reference to Vincent Kennedy McMahon. So I wonder what's going to happen next week. So should we predict it next week? Cody Rhodes gets the AA from John Cena. Who the heck knows? Well, the next match, the New Day actually, they worked a match against the New Catch Republic. The match actually got a B as well, and I was actually surprised that the New Day won, but I shouldn't be surprised because last week the New Day were told by Adam Pearce to prove that they deserved a title shot for the WWE Tag Team titles. So the New Day won. They got over on Pete Dunne and, of course, Bate. We haven't seen him in a very, very long time. I think he had been out with a torn pectoral muscle. That would be Tyler Bate. So, of course, the local boys come up short. The New Catch Republic, actually, they were in control some part in this match, but the New Day emerged victorious. So after that, they briefly cut a promo in an interview, and then the War Raiders come out, the current tag team champions come out. So I'm actually wondering, is it going to be the War Raiders versus the New Day at WrestleMania? Well, a number of weeks ago, involving the whole Big E situation, well, could you imagine if Big E actually gets involved in the match at WrestleMania? You know, I did actually particularly tease this particular idea, that if the New Day challenge for the tag team titles at WrestleMania, all of a sudden, Big E, could you imagine Big E, seems at first he's on the side of the War Raiders, but Big E actually suddenly turns on them and actually helps the New Day win, and it turns out that the whole thing of exiling Big E was all a ruse, it was all part of a plan. I mean, hey, if that's the case, then you know what? It worked out well, so I'm actually thinking right now that Big E will in fact help the New Day win the tag team titles at WrestleMania. Seriously, think about it, ladies and gentlemen. Think about it. Big E at WrestleMania in the corner of the War Raiders. And all of a sudden, he pulls off the swerve and he helps the New Day win. The New Day are back together. What would you think of that particular situation? Would you be all for it? Seriously, think about it. However, let's be honest. After one match, are they really going to put the New Day in the tag team title picture? Now, don't get me wrong. I do believe that the New Day will, in fact, become the new tag team champions at WrestleMania. But I think that next week and the following week, right before WrestleMania, the New Day will continue to embark on a winning streak to make them ready to go. So if the New Day are to challenge and become the champions at WrestleMania, well, they need to continue to be on this winning streak. So I think by next week, they'll certainly be named the number one contenders. But then again, we saw the teaser because the War Raiders came out after that match. So that would seem that they are headed in this direction. Creative is headed in that direction. The War Raiders are very likely to drop the belt to the New Day at WrestleMania. And once again, you know what? I'm going to predict that Big E gets involved and the New Day gets fully reunited as a one massive villainous trio. That'd be something. All right. Well, now we get to Gunther versus Jimmy Uso. Well, we saw what happened last week, but then this week, I mean, that rivalry certainly intensified. You know, what we saw Gunther do after the match, you know, that's really having me think. Now I'm really starting to believe that Jey Uso will emerge victorious, especially because of how this story is being played. Jey Uso battling these demons and, you know, not really being able to fight back against Gunther. We saw the segment last week, Jimmy Uso really hyping up his brother Jey, telling him that this Jey Uso cannot beat Gunther. So he was telling his brother that he needs to dig deep and find his true self. Only the true Jey Uso could possibly take down and dethrone Gunther. So, the Ring General versus Jimmy Uso. Well, Gunther kicked out of the Uso splash in that one, so that really, honestly, to try to help Gunther get a little bit over as a heel. I mean, this whole particular match and the whole particular thing after the match only put Gunther over as a massive villain. Because for this match, Jey Uso needs to be over as a babyface as high as possible. And the same thing goes for Gunther, but only in Gunther's case, he needs to be over as a heel to the highest of high. And I like how Bleacher Report says that Gunther could have won shortly after he returned from the break, but he lifted Uso off the mat to stop the pin. Of course, typical, you know, villain stuff. Doesn't want to win like that. He wants to continue to punish his opponent, well, to continue to punish the brother of his WrestleMania opponent. So after the match, Gunther wins by, technical submission or technical knockout, you know, however you want to say. But, well, man. The Ring General looked absolutely dominant because, you know, he just literally picked Jimmy Uso apart. And he won, of course, by the sleeper, so I guess that was technical knockout. He puts Jimmy Uso back in the sleeper, but Jey Uso comes out to make the save. And at one point, he had Gunther retreating. And then he's helping his brother backstage, and Gunther comes from out of nowhere to attack the trio. And, you know, at one point looked as if he was going to powerbomb one. I think he was going to powerbomb Jimmy Uso under the steel steps, but he was stopped. But instead, he had other plans in mind. He literally took zip ties and he tied Jey Uso to the ring rope and then basically just destroyed Jimmy Uso even more. He even went as far as busting Jimmy Uso open. And not only that, but Gunther literally took Jimmy Uso's blood and just literally rubbed it all over himself. So that particular stunt was to help Gunther get even more over as a heel. And this is obviously to get more babyface sympathy for Jey Uso. So as over as both Jey Uso and Gunther are as a heel and as a face respectively, creative felt that they had to take things to a whole new level. And they certainly did. I can honestly say I was already excited of the match between Jey Uso and Gunther for this one. But after what happened on this edition of Monday Night Raw, I'm even more excited. Even more excited. As a matter of fact, I'm actually very excited to see what happens next week. I mean, could you imagine next week Jey Uso is waiting by the door, you know, waiting for Gunther. It's like walking around the arena with a chair looking for Gunther. And then it's announced that Gunther is not here this week. I mean, after what happened in this one, of course, Jey Uso would be written in a position to where he's going to seek revenge. So I wouldn't be surprised if WWE Creative made it to where Gunther is not there this week, but Jey Uso has a match. Jey Uso wins. Then all of a sudden, Gunther appears. And then, well, something's going to happen. So here's how I would write it. So Jey Uso is told that Gunther is not here tonight. Jey Uso has a match. He wins. And then Gunther appears out of nowhere. And then, well, imagine if Gunther appears, okay? And then Jey Uso comes after him. And Jey Uso this time gets the better of Gunther. I mean, that would certainly be, I would think that's actually kind of cool. I think now it's time for Jey Uso to really kind of get the better of Gunther in this one. Because again, they got to build Jey Uso as well. I mean, Jey Uso already battling the struggles. Now we're going to start seeing the more and more and more vicious side of main event Jey Uso. So he's still going to yeet, but he's going to show us the very, very, very serious side of him. So really looking forward to what happens next week between Jey Uso and Gunther. And I love how Bleacher Report says, you know, Gunther hit a very stiff clothesline at ringside. I mean, hey, that's just Gunther for you. You know, his style, his ability, the way he, you know, like that, that's Gunther. That's why he's the ring general. I mean, those chops are pretty stiff, but, man, Gunther really is one hell of a talent. One hell of a talent. Are we even more excited now for the match between Jey Uso and Gunther? You know, isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting that one title will not be in the main event of WrestleMania? You know, some are even insisting that both title matches will not be in the main event. I mean, we all know the first main event, Reigns versus CM Punk versus Rollins, but that's night one. What could the main event of night two be? Well, of course, there's going to be a title. I mean, it's obviously going to be John Cena versus Cody Rhodes for the undisputed WWE Championship. That's the main event of night two. So, I mean, at least that's what I believe. I mean, anything could happen. But you know, I'll definitely take a look at the card briefly once I'm done, kind of doing my usual recap thing. But again, I apologize for some of the issues. I've just been going through a lot, but here I am. Well, the match, Penta and Bron Breakker versus Finn Balor and Dominic Mysterio. Well, we all know who got the win, and I think the decision was correct, but Penta was pinned for the first time, although this was in tag team action. In singles action, Penta has yet to be beaten, so Penta is still undefeated in singles competition. And the miscommunication, and you know, this was a deliberate setup. I mean, the way the match was executed, the way the match was written was well. But the finish, the way it was set up, the way it was written was absolutely masterclass. So, Bron Breakker attempts to spear Finn Balor, but he accidentally spears Penta. And then Bron Breakker is tossed out of the ring. And then Finn Balor executes the coup de grace on Penta and pins him 1-2-3. So it looked after for back-to-back weeks, Finn Balor and Dominic Mysterio are on the same page. So it would indicate that the Judgment Day are making their way back to the top, back to dominance. But we saw a little bit of a segment in the back. Because Liv Morgan telling Dom that because Finn Balor already had a shot at the Intercontinental Championship and he lost, she believes that Dirty Dom deserves a shot at the Intercontinental Championship. So could you imagine next week on Raw in Minneapolis, Bron Breakker defends the title against Dirty Dom? And could you imagine if Finn Balor inadvertently cost Dirty Dom the title? So for 2 weeks, they're on the same page, and things all of a sudden look well, but then all of a sudden, tensions start arising once again. So briefly, the Judgment Day are on the same page, but then things start to quickly tear apart again. So, you know, for so long, I thought that Finn Balor would be on his way out. So if next week it's announced that that Dirty Dom actually challenges for the title and Bron Breakker and comes up short and Finn Balor inadvertently costs Dirty Dom the title, well, that'll put us back in square one. So we'll see what happens, you know, going to that. But, you know, could we possibly tease the idea of Dirty Dom versus Finn Balor versus Bron Breakker at WrestleMania for the Intercontinental title? Well, to be honest with you, where does Penta go from here? I think Penta should still be in the Intercontinental title picture. So you know what? Let's make it a fatal four-way. You make it a fatal four-way. I mean, put it like this. It's a fatal four-way for the Intercontinental title. And in that match, Dom and Finn Balor basically prevent each other from winning the title. And I actually spoke about this on a couple of episodes ago. Like, imagine Finn Balor goes to the pin and Dirty Dom stops it. And then basically Dirty Dom later on goes to the pin and Finn Balor stops it. So all of a sudden there's miscommunications. There's, you know, they're not on the same page. I mean, who knows what to expect as far as the Judgment Day goes from here. But very clear in the backstage segment, Liv Morgan said that, you know, Finn Balor said he was going to go talk to Adam Pearce about a rematch for the Intercontinental Championship. But Liv Morgan said she'll talk to Adam Pearce once Finn Balor's done, because Liv Morgan believes Dirty Dom should challenge for the title. And again, she does have a point. Finn Balor already had his chance and he came up short. So maybe now it's time for Dirty Dom to have his chance, right? So, you know what? So as far as changes in the New Day, well, who knows what's going to happen moving forward, but right now the New Day are certainly in a position to where, you know, the storyline's exciting, and I'm really curious and eager to know what's going to happen next. But the Judgment Day beating Penta and Breakker, I think it was actually the right call. Now, some would say it was bad that Penta got pinned. It probably would have been worse if Bron Breakker was pinned. But I think in this particular position, the Judgment Day had to get over. Especially because if they're going to start once again with Dirty Dom and Finn Balor all of a sudden being not being on the same page, well, they had to give them the win in this one. So that's just how it went. So, well, we saw the segment between Logan Paul and AJ Styles. Well, obviously the fans had something to say. I mean, the crowd chanting the word douchebag at Logan Paul. I mean, Logan Paul has serious heat. I mean, the heavy booing when he's talking. I mean, even what Logan Paul said to London, I mean, hey, he's really taking it in, all that heat. I mean, when you're a massive heel, you can draw that heat. You might as well embrace it. You just might as well embrace it. Bleacher Report was not very impressed because they graded this a C. To be honest, I think at the end, because at the end they end up getting into a fight, and Style actually had control until Paul used the ring ropes to hit a low blow. So, and then of course the finisher at the end. So I guess they weren't really happy that Logan Paul got the better of AJ Styles in this one. How do I feel about it? I think honestly in this one it makes sense, but the crowd was booing so loudly. I mean, you could barely hear Logan Paul speak. I mean, Bleacher Report kindly reminds us of that, but not that they have to, but man, I love how Logan Paul, the same speech about how everything he does is about being more famous and richer than his opponent. Even mentioned that London couldn't afford Logan Paul. Man. So, well, it's obviously clear, Logan Paul versus AJ Styles at WrestleMania, we all know what's going to happen. Now, not long ago, I talked about CM Punk versus Logan Paul at WrestleMania. I mean, of course, at the time, it was merely a thought. Still, think about it. CM Punk versus Logan Paul at WrestleMania? That would have been a very exciting match. But then again, you know, I always said, but there's still that favor, and CM Punk still has some unfinished business with Rollins and the Tribal Chief. But as far as I'm concerned, the segment between AJ Styles and Paul, not a huge fan of it, but I'm not going to say it was the worst segment ever. I just thought it was like, you know what? I think the segment was I think it was okay. I'm just gonna stick to that. I'm gonna say it was okay. It was okay. But now we get to the main event. Io Sky versus Rhea Ripley for the Women's World Championship, and Bianca Belair, the challenger, is the special guest referee. Last week I predicted a no contest, but technically my prediction did come true, because let's be honest, double disqualification is pretty much a no contest. A double countout, double disqualification, that is a no contest. So my prediction did come true, and it certainly did, because both Io Sky and Rhea Ripley struck Bianca Belair in that one. So after that, she called for the bell. But Rhea Ripley is the one who came out on top because she attacked them both and left them right in the ring. So I think next week we're going to decide what happens. I mean, if not next week, then I would imagine the week after. Because after next week, we'll be less than 2 weeks away. So I think next week it's going to be announced. It's going to be a triple threat match for the Women's World Championship. So, man. But this match did have a little bit of similarities to the Triple H and Bulldog match with The Rock as the special guest referee. A little bit of the arguing. I think at one point Rhea Ripley accused Bianca Belair of making a slow count. But the match did in fact steal the show. I mean, Bianca Belair and Io Sky were left in the ring, and Rhea Ripley really actually, kind of got over a little bit. But I think at one point in the match when Rhea Ripley accidentally kicked Bianca Belair out of the ring, so nobody was there to count the pin, because after performing a riptide on Io Sky, Rhea Ripley had the title won. She had the match won, therefore she had the title won. But by the time Bianca Belair got back in the ring, Io Sky kicked out. So, man. So not long after, Sky ended up taking out Belair by mistake, and then Belair again called for the bell, and she declared the match ending in a double disqualification, which resulted in a brawl between all three women. But it was Mommy, Rhea Ripley, that stood tall at the end, which I actually agree with. So the match got an A- from Bleacher Report, but the very special referee gear that Bianca Belair wore, that was pretty unique. But, man, I'll never forget, there was actually a spot in the match when Rhea Ripley delivered a headbutt to Io Sky, in the air. I mean, that was absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. But I knew that the match would end up like this, because again, I've been calling it for some time. It's going to be a triple threat match, because right now, from the looks of it, Rhea Ripley is not going to WrestleMania, and obviously that would be bad for business, but they're obviously, they have it planned out. So next week it's going to be announced. I think Adam Pearce might actually come to the ring and actually, make an announcement. I wouldn't be surprised if all three women in the ring, once again, and Adam Pearce, says enough is enough. There's only one way to settle it. It's going to be a triple threat match. I mean, I thought that was going to happen this week, but, I didn't expect this match to be the main event, although I wouldn't be surprised if I actually did say in the last episode that it should be the main event. Sorry, y'all. Sometimes can't always remember what I say. I'm not going to lie. But I know for a fact that there's going to be another brawl, and Adam Pearce is just going to come to the ring and separate the three women and say it's going to be Io Sky versus Bianca Belair versus Rhea Ripley. And you know what? Could you imagine if this was a no disqualification match? Okay, let's not go too far, but we all know that it's going to be a triple threat match. So that's just where I'm at, as far as I'm concerned. Now, there was a brief segment with the current Women's Intercontinental Championship, Lyra Valkyria. Of course, she mentions Bayley. And next week, Lyra Valkyria, I believe, will defend the Women's Intercontinental Championship against Bayley. She mentions that Bayley is the only wrestler Lyra lost since becoming the inaugural Women's Intercontinental Champion. Now, I thought for so long that Bayley would be working a program with Roxanne Perez at WrestleMania. Speaking of Roxanne Perez, I haven't seen her. We haven't seen her for a couple weeks, And I was convinced that we'd see Roxanne Perez versus Bayley at WrestleMania. So if that's the case, then next week Roxanne Perez will cost Bayley the championship. But you have to wonder. Well, I'm not sure. Well, you have to wonder. Okay. Because first, then I thought of Ivy Nile. We didn't see actually Ivy Nile. We did see Chad Gable briefly backstage with another doctor's note because he's still not feeling well. Adam Pearce reminds Chad Gable that the following week they'll be in Minneapolis, and Gable says, that's my hometown, and Gable insists that he'll be fine by then. He just needs to step on American soil once again. I love how Adam Pearce mentioned, you know, El Luchador Americano. Oh, boy. So, obviously, I'm already very excited for next week's edition of Monday Night Raw. Obviously, I'll talk about it. Obviously, I got to do my WrestleMania preview. But, you know what? One step at a time, y'all. One step at a time. So, as far as I'm concerned, Lyra Valkyria versus Bayley, I think Roxanne Perez, I think, if I'm correct, I haven't seen her since the Elimination Chamber. As far as I'm concerned, I don't know what to expect right now, you know, from Roxanne Perez, because, you know, I was, you know, very, very certain that she would actually be working a program with Bayley at WrestleMania. Of course, Roxanne Perez did compete in the Elimination Chamber. She was eliminated by Alexa Bliss. So I believe that Roxanne Perez will, in fact, interfere in the match, and she'll cost Bayley the Women's Intercontinental Championship. So, and I think after that, Ivy Nile will attack Lyra Valkyria. So I believe, if we're going to see Bayley versus Roxanne Perez at WrestleMania, then we're very likely to see Lyra Valkyria versus Ivy Nile. Now, as I take a look at the match card, so we already obviously have two matches, you know, featuring women's wrestlers. Obviously, we have Tiffany Stratton defending the title against Charlotte Flair, and we have Io Sky versus Bianca Belair for now. But as far as I'm concerned, go back to Rhea Ripley. I mean, again, at this point right now, it has the Women's World Championship match between Io Sky and Bianca Belair. But again, I believe it's going to be a triple threat match. So at this point, I mean, could we very well see four women's matches on the card? I mean, could we see Roxanne Perez versus Bayley, and then Ivy Nile versus Lyra Valkyria? Lyra Valkyria versus Ivy Nile versus Roxanne Perez versus Bayley for the Women's Intercontinental Championship in a Fatal 4-Way? I mean, who the heck knows? I mean, why not have two Fatal 4-Way matches at WrestleMania, both for the Intercontinental Championship? Who knows? Well, as far as I'm concerned, I'm just not sure exactly about the fate of the Women's Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania, but we're less than 3 weeks away, but I know that in next week or the week of WrestleMania, we'll find out. So, you know what? Let's just go ahead and wait, and we'll get there step by step. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, Ringside Chaos is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and on YouTube. So if you would please hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell. That way, I know for sure that you're not going to miss out on any exciting upcoming content. And of course, once again, let me know your thoughts in the comments about WrestleMania. First of all, about the three things at the beginning. Number one, where does Gail Kim go from here? Will Saraya, formerly known as Paige, return to the WWE? Why or why not? What could the favor that is CM Punk is owed possibly be? Why do you think that would be? And of course, what do you think about the Women's Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania? What do you think about the Men's Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania? I'm always very, very curious to know what you have to say. Thank y'all very, very much. Y'all have a good one. And God bless.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same Game Parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.